My fellow Americans, today I want to explain to you why I am so determined to pursue every legal and constitutional option available to stop the theft of the presidential election. As president, one of my most solemn duties is to protect the integrity of your sacred right to vote. This year, using the virus as a pretext, Democrat officials in the key swing states illegally violated their own state laws in order to enable, encourage, and facilitate fraud on a scale never before seen in the history of our country. The truth is, we won the election by a landslide. We won it big. Today, I'm going to give you the facts that every American needs to know. Let's go back to the night of the election. By midnight, we had a commanding lead in the swing states. We won Florida by a record number of votes. We won Ohio by a record number of votes. And likewise, we won Iowa by 8.2%, far different than the false narrative portrayed in the media. We were up by 293,000 votes in Michigan, 112,000 votes in Wisconsin, 356,000 votes in Georgia, and nearly 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, all swing states. These numbers were absolutely impossible for Joe Biden to overcome, and the Democrats knew it, and everybody forecasting knew it and understood it well. Our nation's greatest political professionals were calling to congratulate me on our victory. Then suddenly everything started to disappear. Everything started to change. The vote counting abruptly stopped in multiple states. In the middle of the night, a series of massive and statistically inconceivable vote dumps overturned the results in state after state. At 6:31 a.m., very early in the morning, Michigan suddenly reported 147,224 votes, 94% for Biden, 6% for Trump. At 4:42 a.m., Wisconsin reported 143,279 votes, almost all of them for Biden. A similar massive drop of ballots happened in Georgia at 1:34 a.m. Again, almost all of these votes for Biden. These gigantic and ridiculously one-sided spikes were miraculously just enough to push Joe Biden into the lead in all of the key swing states. These glaring anomalies are just the tip of the iceberg. We won 18 of 19 bellwether counties, a record, that have correctly predicted the winner of every presidential election for the last 40 years. We also won Ohio, Florida, and Iowa by historic margins, meaning Biden would be the first candidate since 1960 and only the second candidate in American history to win the White House while losing all three of those major states. And it wasn't even close. With Joe Biden at the top of the ticket, the Democrats lost 25 out of 26 toss-up House seats. That's a record. Democrats were projected to gain 15 seats, and instead, because of my success and coattails, as they call them, they lost 14 seats. So think of that. They were going to win big, and they ended up losing big. My campaign received more votes than any president in history. Almost 75 million people voted for me. We earned approximately 12 million more votes than we got in 2016, the largest vote increase for an incumbent president ever recorded. I also received the largest share of non-white voters of any Republican in over 60 years. In fact, we did better with African-American and Hispanic voters everywhere in the country, except for a small handful of corrupt Democrat-run cities in key swing states, places notorious for fraud, such as Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia, all run by Democrat machine politicians. No president has ever lost re-election while making such extraordinary gains across the board. There's never been anything like it. Yet despite all of this evidence of a thundering Trump victory and all of those projections all through the night, they want us to believe that Joe Biden, who seldom left his basement to campaign, somehow received 11.7 million more votes than Barack Obama, and he beat Barack Obama all over the country. It is historically, mathematically, politically, and logically impossible. It did not happen. He did not win. We won by a landslide. Over the past 7 weeks, we have put forth abundant evidence proving how the Democrats perpetrated this monstrous fraud on the American people and indeed the world. First, we have shown that officials in virtually every key swing state brazenly violated their own state laws in order to change election procedures, eliminate safeguards, promote fraud, and illegally benefit Joe Biden. And legislatures, which have to make the changes, were seldom, if ever, used. For example, Pennsylvania's radical Democrat Secretary of State suspended all signature verification requirements, breaking Pennsylvania law, not to mention the big and very illegal ballot drops. In Michigan, the Secretary of State, a Democrat, illegally flooded the state with absentee ballot applications, even though Michigan law strictly limits the distribution of absentee ballots. In Wisconsin, the major Democrat cities deployed over 500 unmanned, unsecured ballot drop boxes that were blatantly illegal, paving the way for unlawful ballot harvesting and tremendous fraud. In Georgia, the Secretary of State began illegally processing ballots weeks before Election Day and also destroyed the signature verification systems in violation of the law. Many other horrible things were done in Georgia. These actions alone were more than enough to rig the election results for Democrats. Second, the absentee ballot rejection rates prove that hundreds of thousands of illegitimate ballots were counted in the key states. This was sufficient to change the election results all on its own. In 2016, 6.4% of mail-in ballots were rejected in Georgia. This year, fewer than a tiny percentage of 1% were rejected. So you went all the way down, a difference of more than 30 times. The same phenomena occurred in Pennsylvania and other states. They were accepting all of these ballots, many of which were absolutely illegal. In a year in which the number of mail-in ballots was the highest ever, the rejection rate was magically the lowest ever, and it wasn't even close. The only possible explanation is that tens of thousands of ballots were unlawfully processed and counted. Most Americans would be shocked to learn that in no swing state is there any meaningful attempt to verify citizenship, residency, identity, or eligibility for mail-in ballots. The potential for illegal activity is unlimited, and that's what we just experienced. Third, hundreds and hundreds of witnesses have come forward to testify under penalty of perjury about the cheating and fraud they saw with their own eyes. Witnesses have sworn that they saw poll workers illegally backdating thousands of ballots, counting batches of the same ballots many times, and unloading boxes and boxes of ballots, all bearing the same signature, and all for Joe Biden. Other witnesses have testified to seeing thousands of so-called pristine ballots with no creases or folds, all voting for Biden. When you have no fold, it means it wasn't mailed. It means it was a fraud. Republican poll watchers were denied critical access as hundreds of thousands of votes were counted in Democrat-run cities in the essential states. There is even security camera footage from Georgia that shows officials telling poll watchers to leave the room before pulling suitcases of ballots out from under the tables and continuing to count for hours. The reason they were forced to leave the room is they said there was a major water main break. The water main break never happened. There was no water main break. In many cases, Republican poll watchers were physically removed from rooms. In addition, there is the deeply troubling matter of Dominion voting systems. In just one Michigan county alone, 6,000 votes were switched from Trump to Biden. And the same system was used throughout a majority of the United States. No satisfactory explanation has been offered for why Dominion systems are able to switch votes with a mere push of a button. In Arizona, the state senate has recently issued a subpoena for a forensic audit of the voting machines, and similar investigations must be conducted in every state using Dominion systems immediately. In Texas, they don't allow Dominion systems to be used. As I have just laid out, we have unveiled overwhelming evidence of election fraud. None of this should ever have been allowed to happen in the United States of America. It is a travesty of democracy. It's a shame upon our republic. In 2016, we caught them by surprise. From that moment, they had 4 years to work on the scheme to rig the 2020 election. The rigging of the 2020 election was only the final step in the Democrats and the media's years-long effort to overthrow the will of the American people and destroy our movement by any means possible, any means necessary. For months and indeed years before the election, the media, the big tech giants, and the Democrat Party were openly colluding to deceive the American public. Earlier this year, it was proven beyond any doubt that Joe Biden's family received millions of dollars from the Chinese Communist Party. Yet the media and tech companies worked together to completely censor this information. Our country no longer has a free press. It is a press of suppression. It is a press where the truth will never come out. It is the greatest and most shocking scandal involving a presidential candidate in modern history. But surveys show that half of those who voted for Joe Biden have never even heard of the story. This is not the first and only time that the media and the Biden campaign flagrantly lied to the American people. They repeatedly insisted that we would not produce a vaccine for the China virus before the middle of next year. And yet before the end of this year, we have already authorized two vaccines with tens of millions of doses in distribution and hundreds of millions more on their way. This is being talked of as a great medical miracle. In this sense alone, the media and the Democrat Party lied to the American people to try to steal the election. Also, polls. In order to deter voter turnout, the media had me down in certain polls by 15, 16, and 17% in states that I won or came very close to winning. If this egregious fraud is not fully investigated and addressed, the 2020 election will forever be regarded as illegitimate and the most corrupt election in the history of our country. Americans must be able to have complete faith and confidence in our elections. The fate of our democracy depends upon it. Now is the time for the American people to raise their voices and demand that this injustice be immediately corrected. Our elections must be fair, they must be honest, and they must be transparent, and they must be 100% free of fraud. We won this election by a magnificent landslide, and the people of the United States know it. All over, they're demonstrating. They're angry. They're fearful. We cannot allow a completely fraudulent election to stand. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
Hey, why don't you come on in a little closer, folks? I want to tell you a little story about AOC. Oh, you better love Marx. You better shun Trump. America sucks, she's telling you chumps. AOC is shutting you down. Oh, yes, she is. She has a blacklist. She's checking it thrice. Gonna throw down when Kamala is vice. AOC is shutting you down. She sees you when you're tweeting. She knows when you're not woke. She knows if you've been pimping Trump, and for that, she'd like you choked. Oh, you better recant. If not, then you're toast. She's got you a spot down at Guantanamo. You better believe it. AOC is shutting you down. Oh, yeah. With greenest new deals, plus taxes galore, lopping off heads and packing the court. AOC is shutting you down. Then Antifa will rally, burn down the GOP. They're gonna build utopia once they cancel you and me. So you better mask up, you better lock down. Turn that MAGA smile into a commie frown. AOC is shutting, oh, AOC is shutting. Listen, AOC is shutting you down. Yes, she is.
Hollywood is magically exempt from government tyranny.
Mr. Reagan.
I thought that the tyranny would end after the election, but it's persisting. And I'm not sure why. The WHO released new data which indicates that the virus is not particularly deadly. It has a 0.14% fatality rate, which is similar to the flu. And lockdowns have proved to be ineffective. California Governor Gavin Newsom has now famously defied his own orders, indicating that not even he takes his orders seriously. He knows that these measures do nothing to fight the virus. He knows that these measures are just a useless signal to his voters that he's doing something. Even early on, we saw the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, going to a hairstylist in defiance of her own orders, using the excuse that she had to look presentable as the face of Chicago.
I'm the public face of the city. I'm on national media, and I'm out in the public eye. And, you know, I'm a person who I take my personal hygiene very seriously. As I said, I felt like I needed to have a haircut. I'm not able to do that myself, and so I got a haircut.
I'm sorry. A haircut isn't going to fix that. Then Governor Whitmer's husband was caught breaking her lockdown orders. Nancy Pelosi famously broke California orders to go to a hair salon. These people all know that the lockdowns aren't helpful. They know that you can break any of their stupid rules and it's not going to make the pandemic any worse. But for some reason, they keep on issuing these draconian orders to the populace. We're keeping you safe, they say. Well, destroying your livelihoods. This is probably what the Germans told everyone when they were putting them on trains in the 1940s. We are sending you to a sort of summer camp. It's a lovely there. You're going to have a wonderful time. It's for your own safety. The showers are particularly nice. Now, it does not appear that they're doing this for political gain anymore. They're certainly not doing it to keep you safe. So what is it? I can only guess that it must be for the reasons the most cynical amongst us have speculated. That in one moment. First, I have to sell you something. Are you a prepper? You should be. And every prepper needs a way to have ultra-bright lights ready to go when stuff hits the fan and there's no power. One of my favorite tools in my toolbox for this very purpose is the Light Bug. The Light Bug is a portable solar-powered ultra-bright floodlight with three life-saving ultra-bright modes. Why am I not showing this to you right now? Well, because I'm using it as one of my film lights. Now, film lights need to be ultra bright, as you can see. Yeah, I basically just have this light on and then this backlight here for balance. But you can see this is pretty darn bright. I actually had to turn down the shutter speed on my camera from what I would normally do at night because this light is so unbelievably bright. All right, well, let's switch that out right now. All right, check that out. All right, and look at this. This is awesome. The Light Bug also doubles as a power bank, which allows me to charge my phone. You can see my phone there is charging. That's just plugged into this Light Bug. Pretty awesome. And this works, of course, because this is charged by solar power. It's also water and impact resistant because it's built from the ground up for survival and prepping. It's the perfect carry-on for fishing, hiking, or camping. I use it in the outdoors for car maintenance, around the house, or just as a general all-purpose stuff hits the fan light. Order the Light Bug today. Lowest prices of the year starting now for the holiday season. Go to lightbug.com. That's L-Y-T-E bug, or click on the link in the description below. You'll get 20% off with promo code Reagan20, all lowercase. Invest in quality gear in your health and help support the channel. I highly recommend it. So why are the Democrat authoritarians still trying to oppress their own citizens? As I said a moment ago, I can only guess that it must be for the reasons that the most cynical amongst us have speculated. It must be to acclimate us to their total power over us. Now, this sounds absurd, like some conspiratorial nonsense, but I can think of no other reason. It doesn't make any sense to me. I suppose it's possible that our Democrat overlords genuinely believe that these dictates make us safer, and they simply feel that they're too special to have to submit to the rules that they force upon the rest of us. But in such a case, I would imagine that they'd seek out effective mandates instead of the ineffective and even harmful ones they're currently issuing. And I suppose it's possible that they merely want to keep some kind of measures in place in order to maintain voter confidence that they're doing something, despite the fact that they know these orders are utterly ineffective. But if that's it, then I'd imagine they'd be reducing the orders in a way to create a happier, more prosperous electorate while still trying to indicate that they're doing something. But they're not letting up at all. In California, at least, they're clamping down harder. I actually bought a freaking exercise bike the other day. I don't want an exercise bike. I want to go to the gym. But I can't go to the gym because the stupid mayor, Garcetti, and stupid Governor Nuisance, they've closed all the gyms down. It's ridiculous. They're literally shortening the lifespan of the people they govern. Gavin Nuisance, our degenerate governor, has corruptly exempted Hollywood from strict new lockdown orders. So none of us are currently permitted to step out of our homes between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Unless, of course, you are an essential worker. And guess who Gruesome Newsom has designated as an essential worker? Now, that's right. Hollywood production people. If you're making TV shows, you're an essential worker right now. This poses a question. Does that include me? Because I'm making a show right here, right now. So I guess that makes me essential. One business owner in Los Angeles, her name is Angela Marsden. She owns the Pineapple Hill Saloon and Grill. She made the viciousness of this double standard painfully clear.
So this is my place, the Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon. If you go to my page, you can see all the work I did for outdoor dining, for tables being 7 feet apart. And I come in today, and obviously Mayor Garcetti has approved this. Has approved this being set up for a movie company. I'm losing everything. Everything I own is being taken away from me. And they set up a movie company right next to my outdoor patio, which is right over here. And people wonder why I'm protesting and why I have had enough. They have not given us money and they have shut us down. We cannot survive. My staff cannot survive. Tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me as a slap in my face, that's safe. This is safe 50 feet away. This is dangerous. Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom is responsible for every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under. And we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
The truth is, and we know it, the truth is that Newsom is just rewarding his Hollywood friends because they're all loyal leftists. They're essential because they want to be essential. One might suppose that they negotiated some kind of a deal, but I don't think they even had to do that. My guess is just that upon hearing about the new curfew, some Hollywood folks who had Newsom's number called him and said, "Bro, what are you doing? Bro, what are you doing? We got hundreds of productions being shot right now. You can't just shut them all down. Do us a little favor, bro." And Gavin Newsom just went, "Oh, crap, I totally forgot about you guys. My bad. I'll fix it, bro. Don't worry about it. It's all good. You're all now essential workers. Boom, done. And then they all had a great laugh at the expense of the rest of California, who have to suffer under the oppressive thumb of the evil fascist known as Gavin Newsom. Rules for thee and not for me. Gavin Newsom, you see, does not just flout the COVID rules unofficially. He actually embeds unfair exemptions into the official edicts. He apologized for his hypocritical dinner party, not because he felt it was wrong, but because he got caught. He still hasn't apologized for his little Maui trip, and he certainly hasn't apologized for this absurd exception to the new curfew rules. And keep in mind that Gavin Newsom has benefited personally from coronavirus relief money. For businesses that Gavin Newsom is associated with, he has taken in far more than most other business owners in California. He's making sure that his businesses don't falter whilst destroying thousands of other people's businesses throughout the state. What a degenerate con man. Typical Democrat. Anyway, as I said before, I'm not really sure why these Democrats are still ramping up the COVID restrictions, destroying businesses, reducing everybody's quality of life. I mean, the election is over. There's no reason to try to hurt Donald Trump now. I don't get it. Maybe you guys can fill me in the comments section. Why do you guys think these Democrat governors are doubling down on their COVID restrictions after the election? Again, the only thing I can think of is conditioning us to accept absolute control from our government. It's the only thing that makes sense to me at this point. Let me know your thoughts in the comments section. I will read them. And remember, it's not that our liberal friends are ignorant. It's just they know so much that is not so. Good night. Bro, what are you doing?
What is fascism? Fascism is private ownership, private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government, get off my back, get out of my pocket, and let me have more control of my own destiny.
Leftists should hate conservatives.
Mr. Reagan.
Leftists hate conservatives for a variety of totally valid reasons. Conservatives are racist. Conservatives are sexist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, and conservatives are anti-immigrant. Because conservatives foolishly judge others, it's only right that leftists judge them. It's okay that conservatives are silenced, deplatformed, lose their jobs. It's good because conservatives are bigots. And you're not a bigot. You're a leftist. And you can be proud of that. You're not conservative scum. You're one of the good guys. You are superior. And that's why I'm here to tell you to keep thinking this way. Keep hating conservatives, because not only are you totally justified and totally one of the good guys, but it's actually dangerous not to hate conservatives. Let me explain. As things are, it's very obvious that conservatives are racist. They're sexist, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, and they're anti-immigrant, obviously. But imagine for one moment, imagine they aren't any of these things. I mean, just imagine you've been wrong about them all along. And I mean, obviously, this is not possible. But let's just imagine as a simple thought experiment. So let's say that one day you meet a conservative who's not a racist, not a sexist, not a homophobe or a transphobe, a conservative who is not, in fact, anti-immigrant. In such a case, you would have to ask yourself, well, then why does this person believe in conservative ideas? It wouldn't make any sense. And here is the moment of danger. I mean, if you can't ascribe conservative ideas merely to bigotry, then you'll inevitably become curious as to why, in fact, a conservative would believe them. And this kind of curiosity is very dangerous. You cannot ever allow yourself to read about, listen to, or worst of all, consider conservative ideas. Better to continue to believe all conservatives are bigoted and that this is their sole motivation for everything. Never, ever allow yourself to humanize a conservative, or else this curiosity about their reasoning will inevitably emerge. And as I said, this is incredibly dangerous. Now, why is it so dangerous? Allow me to explain. If you were to, even for a moment, consider the possibility that conservatives aren't all merely evil bigots and curiosity about their ideas compelled you to learn about them, you would have put yourself in the extreme danger of agreeing with something that they think. And as soon as that happens, you are immediately the enemy of the left. And being an enemy of the left can manifest into actual real life harm. If you agree with even one conservative idea and a leftist activist finds out about it, you're done. The left will viciously attack you. They will try to get you fired from your job. They'll try to get you deplatformed from social media. They will try to get your friends to abandon you. They will try to silence you. Consider, at the moment, the way you feel about conservatives. Consider how little you care about what happens to them. It doesn't matter if they lose their jobs. It doesn't matter if their spouse leaves them. It doesn't matter if they're ostracized from society. It doesn't matter if they live or die. That's how you think of them. And that's how leftists would think about you. The left used to rail against cyberbullying, remember? It was considered a terrible evil made possible by modern technology. But then they discovered the power of cyberbullying. They don't call it cyberbullying anymore, of course. They call it canceling. You're not the victim of bullying, you've just been canceled. The woke mob will attack you viciously, but it's all in the name of social justice. So they think it's okay. The left has also sanctioned official cyberbullies. These organizations are called fact checkers, and they have an enormous amount of power and zero accountability. Essentially, these organizations are hired by social media companies in order to shift accountability for their attacks on conservatives. They label conservative ideas as dangerous, and then they censor the conservatives expressing those ideas, often destroying their source of income and silencing them. You don't want to endure this. It's a kind of hell for many conservatives that you'd be better off never experiencing. I mean, what's the benefit? Truth? Justice? Reason? The actual improvement of society through increased quality of life of all Americans and people around the world? I mean, sure, these all sound like good things, but none of them actually benefit you, so why sacrifice so much? It doesn't make sense. And there are other consequences as well. Hollywood celebrities would no longer agree with you. Your views would be the butt of all the jokes of all the comedians. And it's not worth it. Don't risk it. Never leave the warm cocoon of leftist ideology. Never venture out to explore the world of conservative ideas. Never consider that conservatives might not be racist. Don't ever dare listen to their ideas. I'm a conservative, obviously, and I'll insist that I'm not a racist. I'll declare that I am in no way sexist, homophobic, transphobic, or anti-immigrant. I'll insist that I want better lives for all of these people. But don't ever believe me. Don't humanize me. It's too dangerous. Just hate me. Stay safe. And remember, it's not that our conservative friends intend to be evil. It's just that they're straight, white, conservative men. Good night.
This is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, therein lies the road to war. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery.